Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we have identified the author of 2 Timothy. We have identified the position which the author holds in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're getting ready to talk about how it is that he came to hold that position and what it is that he was supposed to do with that position. And so we'll get to that as we get back into 2 Timothy 1:1 on this Wednesday, August 25, after I thank you, those of you who help us with the cost of maintaining the Beacon Broadcast on this and other stations. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. The author identifies himself as Paul. That is his name. He further identifies himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ. That is his position. But how did he obtain this position? And he tells us that as well. An apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. He was an apostle because God appointed him to be an apostle. It was the will of God. It was the desire of God. It was the command of God. You say, now, wait a minute, I don't know if I want to equate will of God with command of God. I think you must learn to do that. And you ought to do that because this parallels exactly what Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:1, and there he used the word commandment. He said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. So there he says, I'm an apostle by the command of God. Here he says, I'm an apostle by the will of God. Can you tell me what is the significant difference between those two statements? Actually, none. Unless we're talking about time and sequence. Obviously, in our way of looking at things chronologically, we would have to say he was an apostle by the will of God before he became an apostle by the commandment of God. We would say that the commandment of God made him an apostle on the Damascus Road, and in his subsequent relationship to Jesus Christ, we would say that his apostleship by the will of God was determined in eternity past, in the counsels of God, before Paul was ever born, in fact, before anyone was ever born. But here's the point. The will of God equals the command of God. In other words, whatever God wills becomes his command. Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ not because of Paul's desire. Paul didn't say, I think I'll become an apostle of Jesus Christ. I think I'll volunteer myself for that service. But nobody volunteers to become an apostle. Go back and study where Christ called his 12 apostles in the Gospels, and you will find the emphasis is always upon Christ's determination. He called all of his disciples unto him, and he appointed 12 apostles as he willed. In such language, I don't have it in front of me right now, but you go back and check it. It's very clear. Christ selected his apostles. Nobody volunteered to be an apostle. Not Peter, not James, not John, not Andrew, not Matthew, not Philip, not Judas. Nobody volunteered to be an apostle. they were all appointed by the will of God, and whatever is God's will in time becomes God's command. Paul was an apostle by the will of God. It was not Paul's desire. It was not another man's desire. Nobody else said, "Paul, you seem to have all the qualifications for an apostle. I think you'd make a great apostle. Have you ever considered becoming an apostle?" Nobody said that. It was by the will of God. It was by the command of God. Now, our job as Christians is to learn God's will. And when we know God's will for certain, that becomes our command. When I was a boy growing up, there was a lot of emphasis in youth meetings, and primarily youth meetings, sometimes other places too, but primarily in meetings of young people and those who were preaching to us and leading us. There was a lot of emphasis upon discovering God's will for your life and how to do that. Well, there is value in that. I'm not trying to denigrate that completely. I do think sometimes the emphasis is a bit mistaken, but I see some real value in that, because young people need to be challenged to think in terms of, what does God want me to do with my life? Not what do I want to do with my life, but what does God want me to do with my life? Because that's what is all important, right? We all agree on that. But so many times this emphasis upon discovering God's will, learning God's will, knowing God's will, had to do with how to figure out what God wants you to do in the future. And many times there's not enough emphasis upon what God clearly wants you to do today. And I think it's become apparent to me that if we would concentrate more upon understanding and doing God's clear will today, then those areas that fall into God's murky will, if you want to put it that way, the things that aren't so clear to us today that pertain to the future, and we haven't gotten far enough into the future to know what those are yet, that God will make those plain when the time comes. But the Bible is full of things that God says are His will. Many of them are His will for all of His children. Now, what we all want, of course, is a personal word from God that pertains to us individually. This is what I want you to do, as opposed to that which I want her to do and what I want him to do. This is my will for your life. And again, I don't mean to depreciate that. There's some value in that. But I think we need to spend more time learning what God's will is for me as a child of God. In other words, what God's will is for all of his children. Not just individually and personally, but collectively, generally, and make sure that we're doing that. Because whatever we learn to be God's will becomes our command. And if we are not obeying God's will, God's directions, God's instructions, God's commands for our life, now, today, how can we hope to discover God's will for our life in regard to tomorrow? Sometimes I think it's similar to what will happen tonight when I go home in the dark. You say, what will happen? Well, I'll get into my automobile. That, by the way, this is because this is Wednesday, and so I will be at church tonight. And I usually hang around after church for a while, and by the time I get ready to go home, it's going to be dark. So I'm going to get into my automobile, and I'm going to start the engine. And I started to say I'm going to turn on the headlights, but in my case, they come on automatically. I really enjoy that feature. But I'm going to get in my automobile, and the headlights are going to come on, and I am going to start to move out of the church parking lot according to the light that I have for the immediate need. You know what? Those headlights don't show me the road all the way home. But I don't need for them to show me all the road all the way home. Now, wouldn't I be foolish if I sat around in my parking lot and prayed, Lord, please show me the clear path all the way home. I can't really do anything. I can't really go. I can't accomplish anything until you show me the path all the way home. And if God spoke to me in an audible voice, which he doesn't, but I think he might say something like this, Greg, just start moving in the light that you have, and I will give you more light for the next step. And so sure enough, I start moving out of the parking lot, and guess what? My headlights show me what I need. And there are other lights as well, parking lot lights, but my headlights show me what I need to move out of the parking lot. I get to the road, and I make my right turn onto Kirkpatrick Road, and my headlights are shining the road right there, and I go a little ways, and I make a right turn on Troxler Road, and sure enough, the headlights are showing up Troxler Road, though I can't see to the end of it yet, but as I keep moving in the light of the headlights that I have, I will eventually come to Alamance Road, and you get the picture. I don't have to continue this. And God, the headlights, give me the light that I need for the next, 100 yards or more. And that's all I need. As I move into the light that I have, why, amazingly, I have more light for a little bit farther down the road, and more light for a little bit farther down the road. And I think that's not too dissimilar to the way it is in discovering the will of God for our lives. Just be busy doing what you know to do today. And that even applies to those things that are not necessarily found in the Bible. For example, when I was a teenager, and when this was a big issue with me, I realized that I was living where I lived, in my parents' home, but in the city, where my parents lived because they had moved me there, and it was obviously God's will for me to be there because he had put me in that home. It really wasn't a decision that I made. In fact, if I wanted to be honest about it, I would say at the time my parents made that decision, I was not very happy about it, though I came to be very happy about it in the passing of time. And again, that's how it often, so often is. Young people don't understand things very well. But they made a decision to move from one state to another state, and that meant leaving behind all my childhood friends and everything that I had known in my grade school experience, and I wasn't too excited about that. And I went to a new city, and I just was moving into seventh grade. I was junior high, adolescent, just beginning to move into my adolescence, and you know how awkward that can be, and I wasn't real happy about that. But as I matured and also learned to appreciate what the Lord had provided for me in this move and in the new school where I was, I began to realize this was God's wonderful provision, and I didn't have to sit around and brood, am I living in the city where God wants me to live? Am I attending the school that God wants me to attend? Of course I am, because just to be an obedient child put me there. The only alternative was to be a rebellious child, and that's contrary to the will of God. You understand? It's God's will for me to honor and obey my parents. And that automatically determines certain things about my life. That tells me some of the details that differ from me to you, but from the general principle that applies to all of God's children and his word. And so as we live in the light of God's word, so many of these things that seem difficult and mysterious amazingly clear up. The will of God. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.